It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 762. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Please leave me a voicemail on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and also facebook.com/MikeTechShow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website on the left-hand side at MikeTechShow.com. Remember, when you go there, use the promo code Mike Tech Show to get your free 15-day trial. And you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. The show is also brought to you by Magnusbox. Get secure, reliable online backups for your clients. Magnusbox works across all platforms, whether it's Windows, Windows Server, Mac, or Linux. You can easily deploy it, manage, monitor. He deals directly with partners. And there's a new special offer for Mike Tech Show listeners this month. For the rest of December, if you sign up for Magnusbox, not only will your platform fee be half price for the next 3 months, but he will throw in free branding for your business, which normally costs a little more. So you can deploy a backup solution that's branded to your company. That's an incredible deal. Check it out. Go to magnusbox.com, download the demo, kick the tires, try it out, and then sign up. You are going to love it. So before we get started, a few administrative tasks. I have a great show lined up tonight. I have a stack of email, and I'm going to quickly review the topics in a minute. This Saturday, December 12th, join me as it's sort of like a 3.5 hour post show where I'm only playing Frank Sinatra. I celebrate Thanksgiving. I'll have some wine. 6 p.m., join me right here on Twitch. The show will not be recorded. You got to join live and listen as I queued up 4 great Sinatra albums that I'm going to talk about and play. So if you want to have some fun and you're not doing anything on Saturday night, join me right here on Twitch. Next Thursday, same time, same channel for the podcast. Christmas show is going to be December 23rd. Then there'll be a show the following week, but that's going to be the New Year's Eve show. Tech Vets. Hopefully you caught Tech Vets this week. If you didn't, go to tech-vets.com. Carrie and I recorded an hour and a half show on Tuesday night. And right now we're planned and scheduled to do a show December 29th, which is going to be a year-end wrap-up for Tech Vets. Then I will be a guest with Paco LeBron on Podnuts Pro Wednesday afternoon on the 30th. And then the 31st, we have the big New Year's Eve show. The show will start at 10 p.m. and then I'll wrap up the show, save it. And then at 11 p.m., my wife will join me as we ring in the new year together, and she will co-DJ with me as we spin vinyl for the next 3.5 hours. I don't know how long she'll last. And then I'm already working out for two of my sons to join remote to possibly do an alternative hour and then a heavy metal hour to go along with their musical interests. All right. So for tonight, oh, by the way, at the end of this show, little tribute, the memory of John Lennon, I have something special queued up. We're going to talk about, I have emails for the Windows 10 1909-20H2 from a listener. Scripting Windows updates. Listener wrote in about that. And then John Dobrinsky sent me a great email that I'm going to read. And I forwarded that to my listener. And then he followed up. So we're going to go with that chain. Ditching Google search, a listener. Video problems on a Mac Mini. I've been asked about Office 365 backup, and I'm going to give you my opinions and what I think you should do. Customers getting scammed, and we're going to wrap up with a listener question on how to start his PC repair education. So lots and lots to talk about. Let's begin with Nick, who I don't think is in the chat tonight. He wrote me a couple weeks ago, and we were talking in the chat, and I convinced him to try the media creation tool to update from his system to go from 1909 to 20H2, and I wanted to know how it worked out, and it worked out really well. This is an update on my Windows 10 media creation tool. I tried while on the stream with you last time. I just finished the upgrade on an E6-220 I use as a test machine before I run it on production systems. I was able to install 20H2 through the media creation tool. So it is possible to go directly from 1909 to 20H2 without having to deal with 2004. So I wanted to know how he worked out, because I have a group of clients that I got to do that to. I have no 1909s laying around here. So I know that's only one system. But Nick, thank you for emailing me and letting me know. And he has an MSI with a TB3, and I'm holding off a bit longer on that one since I see Thunderbolt issues on the list. So there was a nice list of 2004 and 20H2 listing what known issues, and there's a Thunderbolt problem, so he's holding off. Now, in response to the listener who wanted to script Windows updates, this is from John. I heard your request for Windows 10 update automation through scripting on your recent show. I hope the following helps. I would make one change to the requirements the listener had. Let's update the endpoint at system startup, not at shutdown. My reason for this is simple. You want the computer up to date with security updates prior to use. Example, if the computer has been off for a week or 10 days, no virus, system, or other security updates have been performed. The user is now utilizing a system that is behind on updates required to provide optimal security and performance. This does produce an inherent security risk. Great advice. He continues, in my case, I automate the update process through my RMM, remote monitoring and management software. While this would be the easiest, it did not sound like your listener has this type of functionality with the organization he is supporting. That is correct. My second suggestion would be to let Windows handle this and simply leave the computers on all the time. For example, when the user is done at the end of the day, they reboot the machine so it is at the login screen and then turn off the monitor. Sleep is disabled on the system. To facilitate the updates, make sure the following options are selected on the Windows 10 endpoints. Under Windows Update Advanced Options, all toggles are moved to on. Under Change Active Hours, toggle this on and let Windows handle the timing. The system will now get updates on a regular basis. I would also strongly recommend that your listener take a look at WAU Manager, and that will be the first link in the show notes. This is another tool from Fred over at Ultravirus Killer. The man is awesome. WAU Manager is Windows Automatic Updates Manager, is a fully featured replacement for the built-in Windows updating interface. This tool gives you full control of the Windows updates, such as when and how they are installed, and has full uninstall and maintenance support for Windows updates. The additional tools here may fill the needs your listener requires. If all of these options do not work for your listener, you can use PowerShell and its Windows Update module to perform the magic. There is a lot of power with the PowerShell Windows Update module. It is thoroughly documented on this page with setup instructions. That will be the second link. I hope this helps. John Dobrinsky. John, thank you as always. You came through. I actually called him out in the last show knowing that he would have solutions for my listener. And I forwarded this to my listener and he replied back. So I have a reply here. Hi, Mike. I've looked at the WAU manager and have also managed to look at some PowerShell and command line options, but the volunteers, average age 76, have come up with a far simpler solution which doesn't require any additional technical savvy. Dependent on the day and what tasks they have to do, which determines what computers will be turned on, one of them will come in a half hour earlier and let the Windows 10 updates do their magic. So they're going to let it automatically do that. The required computers will then not interrupt the users when they are doing what they need to do when they come in later that day. I think it gave them a bit of a thrill that they came up with the solution. Thanks again. And this is from Mick. And that's sort of what John said. You know, you make those settings, you know, you let them do that. I'm glad this is working out. But for everybody else, if you're in this situation, we got two great links here for WAU and PowerShell. Tackle them, play with them. It's great ideas. This is from Austin, a quick email. I just got a subscription to Spotify. I searched for the Mike Tech Show, but it was not on Spotify. Can you add it? You know, I haven't done that. And I have to research if anybody's got a podcast that they have formally submitted to Spotify, hit me up with the instructions and what to do. I definitely have to put Tech Vets and the Mike Tech Show on Spotify. Austin, thanks for reminding me of that. This is from Shad. Customers getting scanned. I've been listening to your show since 2008, and the information you provide is invaluable. A month or two ago, you vented your frustration about one of your customers getting scammed. My sister is a news director for KRMG Radio in Tulsa. She started a podcast on her own in 2019 after my now late mother fell for a romance scam and gave the scammer all her retirement money. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. The podcast is called Scammer Stories. She interviews victims, law enforcement, and other experts about various scams. I like your perspective of an IT professional having to deal with scams. If you are ever interested in having an interview with my sister on how you deal with customers getting scammed and your frustration about the subject, let me know. I would enjoy listening to a longer discussion from you on this issue. Thanks, Shad. Shad, I will reach out to you and tell your sister. I will email you and let's set up something for January of 2021. Let's get past the holidays and past New Year's. I love that offer, and then I'll promote that and link that. I think that's a tremendous job, what your sister's doing, and a great service for everyone to educate as best we can and get the word out to stop the scamming. So, or at least falling prey. Because if people don't fall prey, they will stop scamming. This was from Kate, and she asked me, it's how to easily install apps with Windows 10's Package Manager using WinStall. I have never heard of this. And this is from How to Geek. And I had to reply back to Kate, I don't know. I've never used it. Has anyone used this? Do you like it? Does this work well? Is it, malware free? Is that like, it doesn't, is it a free program? Please check this out for me. And I have not used it. And that would be cool if we had a good package manager little program that would help us navigate the waters of mass updates. So I am now putting into the chat these links for what I've talked about. Kate will try to get some feedback. And you know what? I might just download this and try it on my test system. This is from Clifford. Hey, Mike, I just wanted to let you know I appreciate it. Your last show, I believe it was number 760, where you mentioned other search engines. If you look at Dr. Merkula, he has been in the top five searches when it comes to nutritional supplements for many years. Recently, Google changed their algorithm to not embrace alternative medicine or anything that is not part of so-called mainstream medicine. Google has made lots of money off customers and others, and now it seems like they're stabbing people in the back. If you do a search for various ailments, you don't get the mainstream medical opinions. This is my opinion, a type of censorship that should not be tolerated. Shame on Google. And Clifford, Cliff, thanks for your email. I did a search since you wrote this, and he did come up, and his alternative solutions came up. So I don't know what's happening and what they're doing, but it's a thin line. I don't believe in censorship, but I also don't believe, and I guess I'm not learned enough to have the right answer. I don't believe in fake information being propagated. So how do you manage the two? Now, this isn't fake, but you see what they're trying to manage, and it's very difficult, and it's a thin line, and I'm not sure where censorship should be. I'm against censorship, but what happens when now you got somebody promoting something very, very bad and wrong? Should they be allowed to do it? Yes. I've always said I believe in the First Amendment right, and I would fight to the death. You're right to go at the top of a mountain and criticize me because you have the right to do that. So given that, now you know where I stand. So, but you can't hurt people. So it's very tough. And you can see where social media and search engines now are being forced into very tough decisions here. But I also believe the government should absolutely have nothing to do with forcing these companies into any censorship situation. And the government should stay out of that. Video problems with a Mac Mini. This is from Robert. My church uses a Mac Mini 2018 during our worship on Sunday mornings. We use a program called ProPresenter to put the words on the screen from the projectors. The issue is not with the program. We have a main monitor using the HDMI port. The projectors is connected to the adapter that using an adapter from the VGA that plugs into the Thunderbolt USB port. We have a television at the back that is connected to another Thunderbolt USB-C port using an HDMI to Thunderbolt adapter, used an HDMI cable to connect to an HDMI to Ethernet converter. In the display settings, the main monitor is set to the monitor that plugs into the HDMI port. The projector is a monitor, and the TV is monitor 3. What is happening is sometimes the main monitor gets switched to the main display, then displays not a signal, so we have to unplug monitor 3 to get it to work. I have searched, and it is a common problem, but no one has the answer. We have the latest OS X, and it is all updated. Also, I notice on boot up, the screen switches to monitor 3, and the Apple logo is on monitor 3 a few seconds after boot up. I get the login screen on monitor 1. If you have any answers, please let me know. I would appreciate it. I don't have any answers. What I wanted to do was read your email and hope that someone followed that and can come up with suggestions, but I do have one. Do you have a local Apple store? And especially since this is for a church, I know AppleCare may be expired already. I want you to call Apple, explain that this is a church, and see and explain the situation and see if they can recommend a solution. Also, think about going to an Apple store, scheduling time with someone there to be able to talk. I don't even know if Apple stores are open right now, and you can go in, which is a separate situation. So you may just have to call Apple. But try that. If you haven't thought of that, you know, give that a try. So I don't know what area you live in. So I don't know if it's easy. Are there Mac people that, is there like a third part, like a Mac store? Like, I have a Mac guy, and I'm going to email him this and see what he can say about it, because I send all of my out of warranty Mac work to a storefront that I know the gentleman who owns the business, and he takes care of all Mac problems. And when someone comes in with a Windows problem, he sends them to me. So I'm going to see what he can do for this for you, and good luck. Let me know if you make any progress. We got two emails that are going to take up a good portion of time. The first one, Microsoft 365 backup. Hi, Mike. Firstly, wanted to wish you a happy birthday. Thank you. I also wanted to suggest a topic for your show. It's regarding backups, and in particular, backing up Microsoft 365, OneDrive, SharePoint, and Exchange Online, etc. We are a small IT consultancy in London and have been going back and forth on these issues for some time. After looking at many forums, we are still not clear on whether it's best practice to back up your OneDrive and SharePoint info, as there are products out there. Just wondering what you do. I was wondering if this would be a topic discussion, and very interested to find out what others are doing. We are all migrating, so many companies so many companies to Microsoft 365. Always enjoy the show, dude. Best podcast out there by far. And this is Kenno. Kenno, thank you. All right, couple things. First, I reached out to Magnusbox. Their Office 365 product is not ready yet, but they are working on that, and it will be coming. So that's one. Two, officially from Microsoft, and this is what we do for clients that require it, I have two links, Office 365 and Exchange Admin's blog. Really good blog. And here is all you need to know about Office 365 and Exchange Mailbox Backup. So what we do for those clients, turn on archiving. And yes, archiving is not officially a backup, but it does have an archive of every single email and archiving for that individual. So even in SureWeb, I have archiving turned on for those clients that are concerned about having a replica of every inbound and outbound email that happens. So it's not officially a backup, but it is a copy of every single message. So that's something you can take a look at. Now, there's another one, which is turning on how to export Office 365 Mailbox to a PST using the option of e-discovery. E-discovery is built into Office 365 where I know where I have E3 clients, and there's instructions that I have here that you can turn on e-discovery. What is e-discovery? Electronic discovery is when you have to put a hold and make sure you absolutely have a backup of all of the emails, and this is based on a lawsuit that's happening, a court order. So I was involved in e-discoveries a lot, where we had to put a freeze on not overwriting the tapes for the local exchange servers, because the company I was with, they were being sued, and they were a big energy company, so lots of lawsuits. And we were constantly managing e-discoveries where there was a court order to put a freeze on certain backups from the data center, and usually always involving email. So we had a policy that we would overwrite tapes every year. That's right. $3 billion company, and we would overwrite tapes in a year because that was our policy. Well, if you have an e-discovery that could last a couple of years, you end up holding and putting a hold on tapes for longer than that. But you could take advantage of that feature within the admin of Office 365 to schedule exports of the PST. So that link will be in the show notes. Kenno, I hope that these solutions help you. Something else, and I do this personally. I don't recommend this because it's very slow and awkward, but to get a backup of all my email, once a week I run SyncBack Pro, and I have it set to go into SureWeb's to log in and back up. There is an email backup part of SureWeb, part of SyncBack. And I actually use that. I talked about that a long time ago, of backing up my Office 365. So I just do that just to have that every now and then. Now, when it comes to OneDrive, make sure OneDrive's being synced locally. And then just do a local backup. Do a full backup. Use Shadow Protect. Use Magnusbox. Use whatever you can to back up. So OneDrive and SharePoint's fine as long as everything's synced at least one machine with lots of hard drive storage should have everything synced to it, and then back that up using normal backup programs. So that's my solution for OneDrive and SharePoint to be able to back that up. Hope some of this helps, but this is an area that requires a lot more work and discussion. And we need companies like MagnusBox and to be able to provide an integrated, easy to schedule, easy to use solution for backing such an important thing. Yes, Office 365 should be backed up. We can't rely on the hosted company to do that. Last email for the night from Paul. Heard you speak on the Podnuts podcast. My name is Paul. I'm interested in the computer repair field. I've always had a passion to learn all about computers and how and why they work. Until now, I just didn't have the time to become computer educated. I was wondering if you have any suggestions how I should start the journey into computer repair. My computer education is very basic. I'm researching computer training and PC repair schools. What would you recommend as a place to start to learn about PC repair? The first thing I recommend, and I used to do some PC repair years and years ago, and it's interesting. I asked Carrie Holzman this very question, and times have changed so much since he and I entered the industry and started to do computer support. First, I recommend going to YouTube.com, search Carrie Holzman, and look at his videos. He's got hundreds of videos, and he breaks down and builds different computers. You need to learn how to assemble and how they are assembled, because what I want you to do is then you purchase a refurbed or old cheap computer. You can get a computer for $100, $150. I want you to see that you can turn it on and get it to work, and then disassemble it and then put it back together. This is how you're going to learn. You need to get hands-on, and no one's going to hire you yet until you get some experience. Now, I don't know how old you are. I don't know what you're doing for a current living, but I will say this. Geek Squad hires. And you know what? Sometimes you go to Best Buy, you go get a job and learn, see if they'll take a chance on you, and pay attention and learn and practice. That's the only way. But you're going to have to get some experience yourself. And the best way to do it is you got to get a computer and you got to play with it. You got to have some friends or maybe parents or friends of parents where someone's throwing away something. Don't let them throw any hardware away. I want you to take it and I want you to start playing with it. What, was there something wrong with it? You can't learn by reading. I don't recommend you spending any money for any school training. As a matter of fact, I was going to recommend going for A+ certification, which, by the way, I've never done. And Carrie talked me out of it. He says, no, don't tell him to do that. Spend no money. You have the whole internet. You have YouTube. You have tremendous videos. I'm telling you, by you watching Carrie's videos and then you having an old machine to play with, oh, you're going to get there. You really are. There's one key to success, and it's passion. You must have the passion. It's what I have for podcasting. Passion. Nothing can replace that. And if you have the passion, you will not be stopped. And I want you to find a way to, don't steal it, but you find a way to beg, borrow, get old hardware and play. Take out the power supply, remove the motherboard, put the motherboard back, examine the motherboard. How do you test? Read up. What's the best way to do a diagnostics of memory? And then run that diagnostics. What's the best way to test a hard drive? Well, we've talked about that on the Mike Tech Show for years. There is a wealth of software that's free, that's available to you for diagnosing if the system boots up. PC repair is an art, and you got to practice. It's like if you're an artist, the only way you can learn is to paint. Well, you got to tear down computers and put them back together, and it's the way you're going to learn. And if you don't like that, you have to like it because that's what you want to do. Well, if you discover you don't like it, don't stop. You shouldn't be in the PC repair business. So I want you to tackle that and get back to me. I want to know, please follow up. How are you making out? I have some music for tonight's show. December 8th, the anniversary of the assassination of John Lennon. And I wanted to do a tribute to John Lennon. And I have this song, which is covered by Chris Cornell. I love this version. Give a listen, and then we'll be back to talk some more.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us, only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. And no religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace. But you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Maybe one day you'll join us, and the world will live as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of men. Imagine all the people sharing. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Maybe one day you will join us, and the world will live as one. Maybe one day you will join us.
That was Chris Cornell covering the song Imagine by John Lennon. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, got something out of it. If you are buying stuff for Christmas, I know you are. Everybody is. And you're not going out. As a matter of fact, Pennsylvania, they just shut down anything more than 10 days. Any place with more than 10 people, you can't open up. You can't gather more than 10 people. So they've just reclosed indoor dining and everything. But Christmas is still coming, and it's only a couple weeks. Use our Amazon link, please. You're going to be buying from Amazon, whether it's a gift card, whether it's anything you buy. Click on our link in the show notes of miketechshow.com. Then add those items to your cart. When you check out and buy that, a small commission comes back to Carrie Holzman and myself. We share that. It supports Tech Vets, the Mike Tech Show, Carrie's videos, all of our efforts. It supports that. That is the ultimate way to show your support. So we thank you for your continued use of that. And if you haven't, start using it. That's a great way to help us. Magnus Box, he's got tremendous offers out there right now. You want to brand your backup? You're looking for a backup solution? Go to magnusbox.com now, this month, and tell them you heard it on the Mike Tech Show. Instant house call. There's nothing better than that for remote access. We live on that every day, my son and I. This, during the pandemic, has been a lifesaver. It's how I make my money. I remote into everybody on a daily basis using instant house call. Fabs Auto Backup, 7 Pro. Again, another piece of software. Can't live without it. That's great if you're transferring anything from one system to another. Everybody's upgrading. Everybody's use Fabs to do that. Click on the link. It's in the show notes. That's it, everybody. Hope you have everybody. Please have a safe week. And I will see you next week. Same time, same channel here on Twitch. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.